Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Thank you. Whoa!
Vietnam. The last year in Hanoi, I was met with the Vietnamese leadership. We elevated our partnership to the highest level. It's a testament to the resilience of the human spirit and the capacity for reconciliation. But today, the United States and Vietnam are partners and friends. And it's proof that even from the horrors of war, there's a way forward. Things can get better. We should never forget that. I've seen that throughout my career.
John, we were both wrong. You said 2 hours.
Right.
I said, what did I say, 30, 40 minutes that would feel like 2 hours?
Yes.
Both false? Both false. A cool 22-ish minutes, and he delivered it well. I thought it was actually a pretty good speech. There were, I know, parts that some people really objected to, particularly the way he talked about the withdrawal from Afghanistan.
When I came to office as president, Afghanistan had replaced Vietnam as America's longest war. I was determined to end it, and I did. It was a hard decision, but the right decision. Four American presidents had faced that decision, but I was determined not to leave it to the fifth. It was a decision accompanied by tragedy. 13 brave Americans lost their lives, along with hundreds of Afghans in a suicide bomb. I think those lost lives, I think of them every day. I think of all the 2,461 U.S. military deaths over a long 20 years of that war. 20,744 American servicemen wounded in action. I think of their service, their sacrifice, and their heroism.
Yeah, I mean, I know some of the Gold Star families related to that attack have, you know, criticized his remarks in this regard, but I mean, I will say this, his comment that I just made the hard decision to end that war. So I can't figure out what the Biden administration's position is right now, frankly. On the one hand, they seem to want to take credit for being decisive in ending the war, but when you ask them, well, why did we end it so abruptly in what turned out to be such a tragic way and really quite contrary to the advice that they were getting from the theater commanders and generals, they say, well, you know, Trump put us on this path and forced our hand so that we had to, and this is all we could do. Well, if Trump forced you onto this path and made decisions that obligated you to withdraw in this way, then it would seem like he was the one who decided to end the war. Or it wasn't Trump who decided to end the war, it was Biden, in which case Biden made all the decisions that led to the catastrophic withdrawal, and then it's like Biden gets the credit and the blame, both. So what I would say is that Trump put us on the path and that Biden also followed that but made terrible decisions in addition to that. I don't think you can thread the needle the way he wants to thread it. So, but, you know, does it matter at this point because it's Biden's blame, not Kamala Harris's blame? Well, I mean, I don't know. It depends on how much you lump her in with him. He tried to lump her in with himself when he talked about Ukraine.
Russia invaded Ukraine. We could have stood by and merely protested. But Vice President Harris and I understood that that was an assault.
Vice President Harris and I? Is she the one making decisions about Ukraine? Or is that a, you know what would be good for the campaign? It would be good to pretend at this point that she was a key decision maker in a lot of these things. Now, given his state of mental decline, we don't really know who was the key decision maker on a lot of things, other than we assume Jill Biden at the very least. But for him to sort of just add Kamala Harris to the, you know, executive producer credits, so to speak, Seems a little bit campaigny and a little bit less historical.
But Vice President Harris and I understood that that was an assault on everything this institution was supposed to stand for. And so, my direction, America stepped into the breach, providing massive security and economic and humanitarian assistance.
Yeah, and I agree with that decision. And I know some people in the Republican Party have taken a kind of an isolationist view or a let them alone view, or, well, Ukraine is a bunch of, you know, corrupt gold necklace and tracksuit wearing thugs that are former Soviets, and you can just let them all squabble it out with Putin. Yeah, this is just really not the way we think about international relations historically, or the UN, or the United States' role in, you know, allowing countries to be invaded. But, you know, that is a, for some reason, part of the new Republican Party, not my Republican Party particularly, but that is a policy that, you know, or that is a perspective that some people have. Again, I do not share that. They'll call me some neocon, and I'll call them isolationists, and we can just, you know, not worry too much about it as long as Ukraine doesn't lose.
The world now has another choice to make. Will we sustain our support to help Ukraine win this war and preserve its freedom, or walk away and let aggression be renewed and a nation be destroyed? I know my answer. We cannot grow weary. We cannot look away. And we will not let up on our support for Ukraine, not until Ukraine wins a just and durable peace in the UN Charter.
And by the way, his initial comment about Vietnam and how things can get better, you know, you look at where we're at with a particular relationship today, and it's hard to imagine things. But there's so many examples of this, right? Whether it's, you know, I mean, Germany is a kind of a classic example. You know, Japan is kind of a classic example. But other examples abound, including Vietnam. Of course, where we're looking right now for, we would love to see some hope, would be in Israel, right? That's obviously the one of the three problematic areas right now, at least three problematic areas. But, you know, of course, Ukraine being another one, and, you know, the Saudi Arabian Peninsula, Yemen, that area being another. But Iran, Lebanon, which is, of course, all around Israel. In any case, his comments on Israel, pretty short, given everything that's going on there. But he basically said the exact same things that Kamala Harris repeated three times last week when she was interviewed by the National Association of Black Journalists. Just, here's our talking points. We don't have any way to get there, but here's our talking points.
As we look ahead, we must also address the rise of violence against innocent Palestinians on the West Bank and set the conditions for a better future, including a two-state solution.
And not to mislead you, he had spent a fair bit of time talking about the attack back in October. And I mean, this didn't just start with pro-Palestinian rhetoric, okay? He did talk about how Israel has a right to defend itself and, you know, was attacked, okay?
Where the world, where Israel enjoys security and peace and full recognition and normalized relations with all its neighbors, where Palestinians live in security, dignity, and self-determination in a state of their own.
So, but how to get there, right? I mean, because you really do have this problem of people groups, non-nation state people groups, and nation states around Israel, some of whom are fine with Israel existing and fine with Jews having a place to live. Others who, from the river to the sea is the chant, want to see no more Jews. At the very least, they want to see no more Jews in that part of the world. They want them wiped off, pushed back into the ocean, if need be, at least into some other country at the very least. And so it's one thing to say that Israel needs to coexist with all these other nations, but the problem is none of these other nations, or some of these other nations, are unwilling to accept the existence of Israel. Much like you can say, well, a two-nation, you know, solution or a two-state solution, you know, Israel and a Palestinian state, or perhaps two. If you look at the geography, there's the West Bank and Gaza are not connected to each other geographically. So maybe two, maybe a three-state solution. I mean, who knows? But, okay, but what are the boundaries going to be? Do those boundaries make sense for Israel's security? I have always thought they don't, but okay. You still have to find people who are willing to live in a state of peace with Israel, even if they were to accept the boundaries. And, of course, the problem is so far we haven't been able to find people who are willing to do that. You know, we had peace, relatively, right, with Gaza before the attack. And they decided, no, not acceptable. We will conduct terrorism and kill more than 1,000 people in Israel. So it's a fine enough thing to say, but there's all kinds of more details, you know, more meat on that bone before you can really talk about whether it's going to be possible to get there. He had other comments in the speech, but I will say I think generally it was actually a pretty good speech. He talked about the global threat and promise of artificial intelligence. He said something that I actually thought was a really good comment. You know, he talked about him stepping aside and voluntarily giving up power, which I think we all believe that's not what happened. But, you know, he said that democracy and the ideals of international order are not things that belong only to any particular country, presumably implying the United States or perhaps Western Europe. But I thought this was actually quite a good comment.
Forget, we are here to serve the people, not the other way around. Because the future will be won by those who unleash the full potential of their people to breathe free, to think freely, to innovate, to educate, to live and love openly without fear. That's the soul of democracy. It does not belong to any one country. I've seen it all around the world, and the brave men and women who ended apartheid, brought down the Berlin Wall, fight today for freedom and justice and dignity.
I know we threw a little acronym nod in there, but, you know, generally speaking, that's right. The concepts of liberty and freedom and democracy and representative government do not belong to the United States. I mean, we've done it the best. But that doesn't. Our goal is that everybody do it the best. Our goal is that everybody do it well. And that's what we stand for. That's what, at least in theory, that's what the UN stands for as well. Now, it doesn't always live up to that ideal. Certainly, often falls short. But that's true. Now, the one thing that I really did not like about this speech, and it struck me more and more wrong the more I thought about it, was the way he ended it.
My fellow leaders, there is nothing that's beyond our capacity if we work together. Let's work together. God bless you all, and may God protect all those who seek peace. Thank you.
John, I know you haven't listened to nearly as many Biden speeches as I have, but what is the line that Joe Biden 100% of the time uses to cap his speeches? Do you remember?
God bless America.
Nope. No. God bless our troops.
Our troops.
Every single time, God bless our troops. Without fail, God bless our troops. Of course, dad of a military, right? Okay. And he always says that. So here at the UN, he doesn't say, God bless our troops.
Protect all those who seek peace. Thank you.
Now, why? Because he feels like it's embarrassing to say, God bless our troops, which is a very American kind of expression as opposed to all who seek peace. Not that there's a problem with saying, God bless all who seek peace. It's the substitution. Out of what, deference to people in the audience who might not believe that American troops are peace seekers or peacekeepers or peace producers? Now, I found this, the more I thought about it, I found it more and more aggravating, because a good president, a bold president, would have said, God bless our troops, the peacekeepers that they are, the peacemakers that they are, because, I mean, do you believe that America's military power has been a source of stability and freedom around the world? Yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, don't wilt on that in front of an international audience, Mr. President. Don't abdicate the opportunity to celebrate the men and women who have made this possible for all of these decades because of some felt need not to offend the gentle sensibilities of member states who might not agree with that perspective. No, this bothered me the more I thought about it, and it was a very frustrating way for him to end the speech, which, again, I want to give credit. Other than that, was generally a pretty good speech. 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Yes, we are watching Helene. Yes, we are expecting it to become a hurricane later on today. Yes, we are continuing to expect that it will go to our east, that it will make landfall, the eye will make landfall somewhere east of the Apalachicola tip, if you want to think of it that way, into the Big Bend area. The models continue to tighten, and they continue to stay right on that exact line. We are outside the cone at the moment. Of course things can change. Of course we should always be prepared. Of course we are watching with great interest, but I've seen some of the bucket truck staging here overnight, which usually is an indication that it's not here, but it's close to here. They want to be able to get on site, right? So, of course, keep your guard up, be watching, be prepared. But I personally, I'm not worried at this point because the on-track models have been so consistent over the last several years. I've gotten really good at that. Intensity continues to fluctuate. Is it going to be a mere hurricane 1, 2, maybe 3, possibly 4? You know, could it intensify late? Not sure. The intensity models are the ones that are hard. But, yeah, we're looking at basically Big Bend area, and it's going to move so fast, going to carry a lot of that intensity up even into Georgia, which is going to be bad for the whole region to our east. 525 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I would not say we're out of the woods yet. I would just say, you know, as all the local leaders have basically been saying is, you know, pay attention, be prepared, but don't be expecting and don't be worried. It's kind of the way I would say it. I'm Andrew McKay.
Sweet chocolate reward. Sweet chocolate reward.
This is not just the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat at Walgreens. This is the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat right after receiving all their vaccines in one trip. This is the sound of treating yourself. Because you protected yourself.
Stop by or schedule both your flu and COVID-19 vaccines today and grab yourself a sweet treat while you're at it. Vaccine subject to availability. State, age, and health-related restrictions may apply.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZQL.
ZQL, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZQL Nights. Explore our products at ZQL.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Don't laugh! This ain't reality TV!
There are a handful of actors who just have that so distinctive voice and phrasing that you always know who it is. Morgan Freeman, Christopher Walken, obviously Jack Nicholson. I think Al Pacino is maybe on the edge of that category, but, you know, just interesting. 528 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne, our newsman in the dark, this morning in the newsroom with our headlines.
He's
got the lights off in the studio.
I forgot to turn the... I didn't even realize. A Senate report finds that the Secret Service is now finding numerous problems that are keeping it from doing its job effectively.
A
94...
Wow. Wait. Do we have a breaking news alert we can use? Sorry. Go on.
So the 94-page report that was released today finds that there were a number of failures in security, planning, and communication, which they say all directly contributed to the July assassination attempt. The report specifically cites a lack of a chain of command, poor coordination with law enforcement, and inadequate resources. Not sure how surprising any of that is.
Yeah, no, so let me get this right. So they're saying they didn't communicate well. They had poor command structure. They didn't interface with local law enforcement well. They weren't properly prepared. They didn't think ahead, and they hired all the wrong people, and they left them all in charge. Oh, they didn't say the last part. Oh, dang it. I get ahead of myself. So, okay. Soon.
Right.
Soon.
Let's see. Well, here's an interesting one. The leader of a Haitian nonprofit group apparently has filed criminal charges against Donald Trump and his running mate, J.D. Vance. Apparently, in Ohio, they have some type of a law that allows private citizens to file criminal charges. So this was filed after the claims about Haitian immigrants eating pets.
This is like
in
a
Ohio.
Groupist defamation claim or something like that, right? They've defamed my group and I am suffering the consequences of it through threats or whatever. Okay, all right.
And there's a new study out that says close to 200 chemicals linked to breast cancer are used in food packaging and in plastic utensils. This new study shows that 76 breast carcinogens from food contact materials can be found in people. And researchers reported their findings in the journal Frontiers in Toxicology.
I will say it this way. We would be fools to think that there have not been pharmaceutical and or production and or lifestyle things that have changed in the last, let's say, 60 years that are responsible for the massive increase in cancer, and particularly breast cancer. We'd be fools not to be looking in that direction.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. A Senate committee releases its interim report on the first assassination attempt on Donald Trump July 13th in Butler, Pennsylvania.
The committee found that Secret Service, quote, failed to ensure the AGR roof was adequately covered by either U.S. Secret Service or local counter snipers. The report also revealing a Secret Service agent specifically requested drone equipment days before the rally, but it was denied with no explanation.
Fox's Brooke Singman reporting this morning. Tropical storm Helene gobbling up warm water, projected to transform into a Category 3 hurricane when it barrels into the Big Bend of Florida.
It is set to blast Florida with everything from damaging winds to the life-threatening storm surge, and landfall is going to be tomorrow. So, again, the time to prepare is now.
Fox Weather's Britta Merwin. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 72 degrees in Pensacola. The body of a missing diver was recovered in Okaloosa County yesterday. Officials say 31-year-old Jeremy Carmichael was found in the Gulf on Tuesday morning. His body was reportedly found in the general area that he had last been seen, which was about 23 miles southwest of East Pass in Destin. The Coast Guard says their search took more than 36 hours and covered 2,000 nautical miles. The Florida FWC is handling that investigation. Also, another update on a story we had yesterday. A woman has now been arrested for that hit-and-run crash that injured a Pensacola woman on Gulf Beach Highway yesterday. That crash happened early yesterday morning about 6 a.m. when a Nissan sedan turned in front of a Lexus SUV. A 52-year-old Pensacola woman was injured in the crash and taken to the hospital, while the driver of the sedan reportedly fled the scene on foot. Troopers say that they identified that woman now as 24-year-old Karen Fernandez. She was arrested about 10:45 yesterday morning and charged with not having a driver's license and leaving the scene of a crash, and she's being held on $3,000 bond at the Escambia County Jail. Well, prepare for the worst, hope for the best. That's the advice from Governor DeSantis yesterday ahead of Tropical Storm Helene, expected to form into a hurricane, make landfall as soon as tomorrow night.
The Big Bend and Panhandle should be especially prepared for a direct impact. We just got some model runs this morning that take it as far west as pretty close to Panama City. And I think the eastern routes are probably more in the Big Bend region. And that's just the direct impact. But I think it's important that people don't get wedded to these cones.
And Governor DeSantis there from his press conference yesterday morning at the State Emergency Operations Center in Tallahassee. He said the cone and the storm's track could still change. DeSantis said this is the first time the National Hurricane Center forecast a storm to become a major hurricane before it had even formed yesterday. And they did that because of the similarities they say the storm had to Hurricane Michael. Well, the Waterfront Rescue Mission launched the Hope for Her program September 3rd, and they say they quickly discovered there's an immediate need for that program's services. On opening night, 14 women arrived in need of a place to stay. They say that number is now growing, with 28 beds for overnight guests and 14 beds for women involved in their programs. The mission is giving women a safe place to lay their heads at night and access to needed services. If you'd like to help, Waterfront Rescue Mission is looking for clothing donations and women that may be interested in volunteering at the shelter. It's 5:34. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will have some scattered showers and thunderstorms today as we have a little more moisture building in. 70% chance of rain, high near 85, low tonight near 72 degrees. On Thursday, we will be looking at a high rain chance as a cold front starts to make its way into the area. 80% chance of rain, high near 80 degrees. We are tracking Helene. It is expected to make landfall well to our east, but we will be seeing some rough coastal conditions as our main impact from this. Looking at a dangerous rip current day and some high surf. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And 72 degrees now in Pensacola. 75 reported in Gulf Breeze. And it's 73 in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Duolingo users can now make video calls in English, French, and Spanish using the app's signature character, Lily, who can remember what users tell her, recall past conversations, and teach learners in an open-ended, spontaneous way. This makes for an experience that more closely mirrors what language learners would encounter in the real world. The Department of Justice has sued Visa, accusing the financial giant of illegally stifling competition to maintain a monopoly over the debit card market. Visa and its smaller rival MasterCard have a combined market cap of roughly $1 trillion. U.S. Steel CEO David Burritt has defended the company's planned sale to Japan's Nippon Steel, expressing confidence that the deal will be completed despite President Biden's opposition. The sale is currently under review by the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States. Futures are slightly lower after the Dow and the S&P 500 both closed at record highs yesterday. That's Your Money Now.
Parrish Packages are back, and they're featuring the number one compact tractor in the United States, the Kubota L2502 with quick attach loader, Land Pride 6-foot cutter, and Land Pride 6-foot disc, all for $29,999 cash or as low as $385 a month. Doesn't include tax fees or insurance. Plus, you get a free pipe top trailer. Visit them at 6701 Mobile Highway. Parrish Tractor, one of the largest Kubota dealerships in the country. 0% APR financing now through 9/30/24. See them or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Good morning, 5:38 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Keeping our eyes on Helene, and at this point, basically eyes at a distance, expecting it to go well east of us. Well, not well east of us, but east of us. Pretty close, but, you know, mostly affecting other people. Panama City and east is what they're looking at for that cone right now, and that kind of has been pretty consistent for the last couple of days. But, you know, all eyes on it just in case, right? Things can change. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Chip Simmons, the sheriff of Escambia County. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Let's start with the Amber Alert. We had an Amber Alert yesterday. It looked to me like the father of the child had abducted was the allegation.
Yeah, that was the report we got. The father of the child, who we ended up arresting, Daryl Fulmer Jr., he had a domestic violence injunction on him. He violated that injunction. He pulled into the driveway. He actually pinned the mother's car in the driveway, gets out, and he takes their infant child, or their 7-month-old child, and then drives away. couple things here. You know, you can't be bumping cars, pinning cars. You can't take a child you don't have custody of, and you also have a domestic violence injunction against you. You can't be doing that. So when there's a fear that the child may be in danger, then we do an Amber Alert, and that's why people got the Amber Alert. Fortunately, a relatively short time later, about an hour or so later, he shows back up at the address. He didn't have the child with him, but we were directed to where the child was. Child safe. He's in jail. Mother and child
reunited. Where did he leave the child?
Huh?
It's his child. Where did he leave the child?
I have an address of where the child was found. I'm assuming it was family members.
Family member. Okay. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. The child was safe, and he was returned to his mother.
Yeah. Good outcome, but, you know, obviously pretty scary thing, certainly for the mother. So, and she's okay after the car incident?
Well, I mean, she's well physically. You know, you know, the trauma that you would undoubtedly go through whenever your child is snatched.
Plus, you always feel like it's one thing to have a domestic violence injunction against somebody, but you still feel like, I mean, a piece of paper is not all that strong, you know? And arrest after the fact doesn't prevent, I mean, we know horrible, terrible examples, right? And so that's pretty scary stuff.
And that's why we jump on them pretty quickly. We try to get as much information out to the public. And I'm assuming once word got to him that everyone's looking for him, when their phones went off, that he decided this is not a good idea. And I'm glad.
I almost don't even want to talk about this next story because it's just so awful, and so I don't want to spend much time on it, but it is in the news, and if you have any insight that you can share with us about what we think happened, this is that story of the mom and her daughter. I cannot even imagine your officer showing up at this scene with a 10-year-old in a bed and a gunshot to the daughter and a gunshot to the mom, right?
Yeah.
Suicide for the mom.
It's tragically simple. That simple. We get a call of family members were concerned. They went there. And I want to say they actually found them first and called us. And then we get there. Obviously, we see a 10-year-old deceased in the bed with a gunshot wound. And then the mother in the bed, obviously, with a gunshot wound as well. And you know, you just wonder, like a lot of people do, wonder, you know, what led them to this. And, you know, and as tragic as it is, you take your own life, then you also take the life of your child. I mean, why that is, I don't know. There was a note left, a multiple page note. So we're going through all that just to make sure that we cover everything, that all of our bases on this investigation. But
so really, I mean, premeditated, really, as far as you can tell, certainly thought out,
you know, as much thought as you can give in whatever state of mind that the mother would have been in. But I showed up at the scene, and I mean, you could just tell again, it's just sad. You know, whenever you have something like this that happens,
I don't know how they deal with stuff like this. You know, I've told the story many times. I had a good friend in Phoenix who was a Phoenix PD cop, and, you know, he had to leave child crimes. He just couldn't, he had two kids. He couldn't watch it anymore. Couldn't see it anymore. And the problem is that the good people you need to be in those environments solving these crimes. And in this case, it's not complicated to solve, but the detectives and the cops who see this kind of stuff, it's just an unbelievably hard psychological, right?
It is, and that's why we, you know, we have that informal response when we're all together and we kind of talk about these things. And, you know, you can tell when you go to a scene like that, there's a lot of shaking, you know, slow shaking of heads and like, oh, it's just terrible. And then then you got a job to do.
So you
kick into that investigative mode. Again, we were there. We were already meeting with some state attorneys over there on some other cases. And so they went over there with us and we're all just trying to figure out, you know, first we have to make sure that is what indeed took place.
Right, right.
You know, we can't take that for granted just because of what the scene looks like initially.
That's something that ME, you know, Dr. Oleski has told me, is that the, you know, suicides aren't always suicides. And you have to be sure it's not staged or some, you know, it's a murder made to look as a suicide. And so you have to investigate to make sure that's not the case, right?
That's correct. And then, you know, then that realization that, man, this is, you know, this lady took the life of her child and herself. And that just makes it even more difficult.
You had on Sunday, a woman was murdered, this time looks like with a hatchet. Is that right?
Yeah, we got on the scene about the 500 block of Citrus Avenue, which is over off of Michigan Avenue, and we see a female victim with a horrendous head wound, and it obviously is from some sort of a blade instrument or a sharp instrument. We believe to be a hatchet. We do have a suspect in the investigation. We did make contact with that suspect. That suspect is in jail on some unrelated charges.
Okay.
But we are working on getting a warrant prepared. So we're working with the state attorney's office to keep him in jail until we can get that.
So he's in custody, not on this, but that's because you're holding him on the other things, but in expectation of charging him with the murder.
Yes, yes. Okay. He's certainly a suspect in the case. But again, we have to make sure that we have enough probable cause, and we have to get enough to where a judge will sign a especially murder, as you can imagine. We have to make sure that we have enough to prosecute. So we made sure that he's staying in jail, and we are working on the murder warrant for him for that that particular crime.
We also had a gunshot murder. This is timing with a gun. Two Hondurans, one murdered the roommate, is what it looks like, on Rebel Acres Lane.
Yeah, there was a disturbance, and one it's as simple as that. One shot another, and we're still trying to confirm the victim's identity. Who's from Honduras, and we're not sure of the status there. They don't let us know all the statuses of the immigrants and such. But as we know, we arrested a Dennis Herrera. Basically, a short time later, charged with second-degree murder in the shooting.
Any prior calls to the location?
Not that we're aware of.
Okay.
It's just, again, it's a sad thing, but it's a disturbance that escalated to a shooting.
And I know because they're Hondurans, people will want to know are they here legally, here illegally? Do we know at this point any legal status in terms of the two men?
Yeah, again, one of them, the one that we arrested did have a visa, and they've been here for some time. But we're having trouble with the victim's identity, and you know, because how easy it would be just to give an ID of some sort. So we're trying to find out for sure.
And then the last one, thank goodness, on Saturday there was an attempted murder, stab wounds, and this is involving a brother against a brother. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly what it was. Brothers were fighting each other. One of them takes out a knife and stabs the other brother several times, cutting him. Short time later, we found the cutter, the stabber, and arrested him, charged him with attempted murder. I think what you're seeing here is, again, I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things.
Yeah.
And all of them seem to be personal, kind of.
Yeah, none of these are drug related.
Drive-bys. Normally I'll tell you that almost all murders, almost all shootings are drug related. I think we're actually doing a pretty good job of getting, stopping cars and pitting cars and getting some real time crime center up and running.
Yeah.
The technology that we're using now, but this is, these are difficult. How do you stop two brothers from fighting? How do you stop, two friends from fighting and shooting each other? Those are going to be difficult things for us to, and murder suicide. I mean, those are very difficult things to comprehend. And additionally, they're difficult to for us to stop.
And what's the law enforcement preventative strategy for any of these? As you and I've talked about many times, you have profit and drug related crimes are one thing, which you can do a lot to thwart those,
right?
Because it's certain offenders, right? When it's something like this, it's just. It still shows up as a murder in the box score, so to speak, but it's a completely different kind of thing, domestic stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And I would like to just kind of, to your point about how you just deal with the murder-suicide of a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
We have investigators. We have a handful of investigators, but conceivably we could have had the same investigator go to the Amber Alert, because we did have all hands on deck, including the real-time crime center. You could have those investigators go into the hatchet killing, you can have them go to the shooting.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's not just one or two here. Yeah, you could conceivably have the same investigator and certainly the same investigative supervisors, our sergeants that are in, lieutenants that are in investigations, that they go to these things. Now, this is a lot for a week.
Yeah.
But Amber Alert, not a homicide, and technically, the murder-suicide
puts you in that frame of mind. You're in that apprehension and concern and anxiety. And
they evaluate the scene. They're there. Mm-hmm. They see it. They, and part of the investigation is to try to recreate that in your mind, what could have taken place. Mm. That's what makes a great investigator, so that they can look at all avenues.
Somebody had texted me in the question at 437-1620. Do we have enough grief and psychology counselors for situations like this? Do you feel like that side of the staffing funding is personnel is available is enough
for internal?
Yeah, for you guys.
Well, and
or
that's
for families. And I mean, I know we have trauma informed counseling and all that stuff, right?
And the state attorney's or the attorney general's office has some counseling and some victims advocates available. This is why we created our mental health unit, where we have internal and external mm-hmm. counseling. Again, external with or the co-responder unit with Lakeview clinicians, but we also have internal where you can. Go and talk to someone, again, one of only two programs in the entire state, because we understand how important it can be for people sometimes to talk through these things.
I've kind of been asking everybody the same question because it's imminent now. We're within, 8 days of it taking effect. The new homeless ordinance, anti-camping ordinance that the state passed, that you cannot camp on public lands. And then if the county, for example, wants to create a homeless campground, they can. They're not obligated to. There's all kinds of restrictions on that. It doesn't look at all. They've taken no action. It doesn't look like they're going to. The city is now passing an anti-camping ordinance that prohibits you from any commercial property camping with or without permission, and from any private residential property unless you have permission. The county has no such comparable ordinance except like in Santa Rosa, it's a general camping prohibition. Anyway, your thoughts, what are you guys doing to prepare for implementation of the October 1st deadline? And is this Pensacola ordinance going to adversely affect the county? Like, just tell me what you're thinking as you hear all this, because you're going to have to deal with it. Your officers are going to have to deal with it.
Yeah, the state law that passed, it goes into effect on October 1st, but actually enforceable on January the 1st. So it gives some communities some time to work through it.
I guess I had forgotten that part, that it's not enforcing until January.
Right, that's correct.
It gives breathing space. Okay, all right, go ahead.
And the law itself is directed at the communities, it doesn't direct, the sheriff doesn't mention, or the police department isn't mentioned in any of this law.
Okay.
So basically what the state is saying is county, city, you can't allow people in your public spaces anymore. And if you do want to do that, you have to have a place for them. Well, I'm not speaking for the Board of County Commissioners. That's entirely up to them. So there's no direction given to the sheriff's office to do this. I can tell you we're prepared. If Escambia County says, hey, we would like them removed, this is we're going to basically adhere to the law, and we're not going to allow them to camp on the sidewalk or do what, camp in a public space, then we will certainly go there and we will certainly remove them. We just need to be told.
But where do you take them?
Do that. Well,
if there's no place, where do you go?
Well, we have to make them move. And if they don't move, then we take them to jail. The thought there is they're going to move. And then there's plenty of shelters. Look, Andrew, we have paid millions and millions of dollars. Surely there's a direction. Surely there's a place. Surely there's a plan. Surely there's something. And I'm not talking directing towards anyone in particular. I just know there's a lot of money. And I wistfully a couple months ago said, you give me $1 million and I'll have a homeless task force and I'll do it. You give me some of that money, I'll have a task force.
I think Chip just volunteered to run the homeless program in Escambia County. So
the plan would be follow the state law. Here's an idea. Follow the law and let's direct some of that money towards, get what the county wants. And again, the county has to decide, do they want a shelter or not? And if they don't want a shelter, then let us know and we'll move them. Because if they don't call us, then as I understand it, and I'm not a lawyer, but as I understand it, then people or the attorney general can sue them because of this.
For not
enforcing this state law. And I know that there are some Supreme Court decisions that have enforced or reinforced the ability for the communities to do this. So I have not had a conversation with the county about this. We are simply waiting because, again, it doesn't mention the sheriff's office in any way in the entire bill.
All right. Well, action maybe, is not, I don't know. I hope we get this figured out because, January is approaching fast. I thought October was approaching fast, but, certainly something needs to be done so that you guys know what you're doing when you get called on to enforce this stuff. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you for the time. Thank your officers. I think all the time about what they deal with and what they go through and what they are tasked with solving in terms of crimes. And I really appreciate the work that your agency does. So thank you for the time this morning.
You bet. Y'all take care.
5:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And if you're thinking about that next vehicle, trying to decide if it's the time or if you know what you want or if you don't, you've been putting it off, which is very common because you think, I can wait another 6 months or a year. And then you're spending a couple $1,000s on that car because you waited too long. Don't wait too long. Go ahead and get yourself that new car. And, you know, where you want to go is Frontier Motors. Look around at their selection. About 300 cars, trucks, and vans on the lot. You can look at whatever. And they've got a whole different variety. So you get all the sedans over here, all the trucks over here, all the vans. You know, and you can really browse to your heart's content and find a couple that you like and sit in them and play with the knobs and, you know, drive 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is money, you know, and drive something outside your category. Like, give a bunch of different things. And if you find what you want, hey, it's going to be a good quality, almost new, you know, maybe 1, 2, 3 years old with, you know, somewhere between, you know, 10 and 50,000 miles of pretty much their specialty and in great condition. And if you don't find what you love, like if you find something that's close, tell them to go look for you because they can do that. They're looking for cars all the time. So, you know, whether they've got it on the lot or whether they can go look for you and then they'll stand by it after they sell it to you up to $100,000, they give you that warranty on top of whatever else comes from the manufacturer. So, they want to stand by these cars because they know you need to depend on them. And they want you to have cars you can depend on. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
News Radio 92.3 congratulates the recent winners and finalists in the 2024 Pensacola News Journal Community Choice Awards.
Here is one of the recent winners who can say they are the best of the Bay.
Adore You Salon was voted Best Hair Salon for 2024, a full-service salon with nail, lash, and permanent jewelry services. Help them thank the community with a cut-a-thon event on October 5th from 11 to 3, with 100% of proceeds going to Making Strides Against Breast Cancer.
Congratulations to all the Best of the Bay winners.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app. When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays a Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
That's a joke, son. Don't you get it? I made a funny, son, and you're not laughing.
So, John, you'll appreciate this. Back when I was in Phoenix on my little instant replay hot button machine,
right?
I used to have like 10 different things like that that would make fun of, you know, somebody telling a joke that's not funny that I would play on myself all the time. Every time I make a bad joke.
That's funny.
Every time. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local. Befuddled, what in the great googly moogly is going on with Navarre High School? Have you seen this? If you put Navarre High School into your Google search, it comes up with Navarre High School, home, staff, school, athletics, guidance, blah, blah, blah. And then on the right-hand side, at least the way it displays for mine is, Diddy's Playhouse. What? The school district, according to WAR, says they've been hacked. I wouldn't describe that as a hack. It's probably what? Somebody claiming that it's their domain or that they're the reference point or something?
Yes. Yeah.
Somebody to who? Google?
Right.
Just claimed it.
You just submit it, yeah.
I guess you need to claim it before they do. So I'm sure it'll get fixed, but for now, what? David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Tropical Storm Helene now forcing NASA to change some of its launch plans. They say the launch that they had scheduled for Thursday has now been pushed back to Saturday. The mission will send astronaut Nick Hague and a Russian cosmonaut to the International Space Station.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Coming up next hour, ECUA's Bruce Woody. We'll talk to him about everything going on with, recycling. I'm sure it'll be one of the topics we'll talk about.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.